is Faisal Pliqueta.
This is Joe Cole.
This is Ruben Loftus-Cheek, and you're listening to the London is Blue podcast.
All right, Chelsea fans, welcome back to another episode, Champions League edition of the London is Blue podcast. As always, your host, Brandon, joined by Nick and Dan, my co-host. Gentlemen, welcome back, Nick. You're back, sir. We're glad to have you. Glad to have you in the hot seat. Midweek, Tuesday night, obviously Champions League podcast. No red polo tonight.
No red polo tonight, no. Master Sunday, you know, you pull out the red polo for Master Sunday, you know, in honor of Tiger. And then you switch back to the blue for a Champions League game. And that's what you do. I'm wearing my Air Maxes with the blue and white today. I'm ready to go, man. I'm killing it. So we're back. Thanks for letting me do a little golfing on Sunday. And Simon and Liam were great. So you didn't need me anyway. That was great.
Oh,
it was
good. They're always great. They're always great. So, yes, it was great to have them. And it was nice that you got to take some time off. So it's all good things.
Whereas I am mostly just mediocre. And so it was a real upgrade, you know, that was pretty cool.
Well, joining us for this one, in case you missed it on social media, is a good friend, a newer friend, but a good friend, CJ. Is it Usama? Uzoma?
Uzama.
Uzama. I was not that close, but CJ Uzama, if you don't know, played at Auburn, played at Cincinnati Bengals, tight end, and a massive Chelsea fan, and he's doing the good work by spreading the Chelsea joy amongst locker rooms in the NFL. So we appreciate you. CJ, welcome back, sir.
No, thank you for having me again. I appreciate being on the show.
It's a hat trick of appearances, man. It's third time's the charm.
Yes. The best news that we got all day, beyond the Chelsea stuff too, is that you are now kind of over, for the most part, the injury that kind of set you back last season, which, you know, was great news for all of us to celebrate as we were getting ready to start recording this episode too.
I got 100% clear 3 days ago. So I'm super excited. I was the most pumped when I saw the doc and he was like, yeah, you're good. So I'm excited. I couldn't be happier. This has been a great few days for sure. First nice. That, now this. So
good. We'll keep the momentum rolling, man. We are excited. Obviously, it's hard to get weeknight guests, you know, for these things. So it's awesome that you've been so willing and flexible to jump in and join for these things. So we appreciate it. Right out of the gate, Griffin Lammy, I don't know, says, does the big fella think that the Blues fan base resembles the Auburn fan base?
So Griff's actually my boy. I saw that. 100%. We're the most loyal and the best. I mean, in our respective sports, like Auburn is the best, has the best fans for college football. And Chelsea, the Blues, have the best fans for proper football, I guess. So yeah, they're one and the same. I'd say yes.
Just really? Waiting to see if anyone bites. No. All right. We're going to not fight CJ on that one and go ahead and move on. But it would be fun to hear if anyone else thinks their fan base resembles the Chelsea one. Be friendly. All right, let's be respectful about this. But hey, we're going to be talking about, like I said, the Champions League match. This was the second leg against Porto. We're looking at either Real Madrid or Liverpool. And I think if I were a betting man, I would bet that it's Real Madrid. We're going to be talking about how Pulisic offered Chelsea a release, a target, and Pepe, the rest of Porto's players, and much, much more. So, three-word match review. The good way to start it off, Dan, this monster you've created, where do we start?
Well, we got a couple here. All good ones, of course. Anytime Chelsea win, or advance, rather, because we didn't win this match in particular, you get some good ones. So Luke with the "my shins hurt," with the context being after watching Pulisic get whacked for 90 minutes. Brad with the "whacka Christian," like whack-a-mole. Jay bringing us in with the "8 years coming." Finally happened. We're back. Mitch with the "Porto fouls out," a little bit of basketball crossover there. I like that. Byron with the "boo freaking who," Porto. John with the "successful semi-slog." Stanford Chidge, of course, keeping it super clean with the "got a semi."
Yep.
Ka with the
"semi.
Why not semi. Us?"
Yeah. Dan, come on, man. Dan, it's a semi. Okay.
Anyways.
And then Jesper with the "why not?" question mark. Nick, exclamation point, to round us out.
Love it, Nick. Feel the heat.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. I went with both Porto players and the manager kicking and screaming. This obviously was a rough and tumble affair, and their manager complaining after the fact about Tuchel was hilarious to me. So kicking and screaming, we're in.
Good flick. So maybe surprisingly good flick. I put learning to win. That's something this team has had to do, as Jay said, for 8 years. We set ourselves up for victory and had to survive today. And they absolutely did it, as far as I'm concerned. Dan?
Well, you touching on survive is where I drew mine from, the survivor element of outwit, outplay, outlast. That's what Chelsea are doing right now in the Champions League.
I like that.
All right, if you say so. Another TV series I've never bothered with. Anyway, CJ, over to you, sir.
I'm going to say not done yet. That's the hope, you know. I'm super, I'm listening to all these. I'm like, heck yeah, it's been 8 years. Like, yes, here we go. And yeah, today's performance was a little, had me like, oh my God, what's going to happen, whatever. But, I think this team is, like you said, learning to win and doing things the right way. So I don't think we're done yet. I think, I'm hoping that there are bigger things in the future.
We're looking forward to it. It the journey is not over, to your point. There's more to come. So before we get into the match review again, I just want to say thank you to a few people that are supporting us, going out of their way to support us. And that's with Bryce and James on the Patreon. The joins are continuing to come. There's a lot of great content with Kings Road and Joe Tweeds is coming out. Some other things in the works as well. So again, if you're looking for an amazingly in-depth and detailed newsletter from Chelsea, I mean, Joe's last newsletter was 10 pages long in Google Docs. It is $5 a month. If you paid per word, it's, I think, about less than a penny per word at this point. So it's super in-depth, and then he even does a Q&A. So that's on top of our Discord server, which is honestly the best place to watch a match on game days. A lot of times I'll just sit there and watch them and not get involved because I tend to get picked on. So I avoid it. Dan, what about you?
Oh, don't make them sound like bullies. That's not the right way to leave that, is that you get picked on, okay?
I uniquely get picked on. It's a me thing. Not
I feel like Nick gets picked on the most, but we're going to, that's neither here nor there. Nor there.
All right. Whatever.
Apple Podcast reviews. We got one more 5-star Apple Podcast for you. We appreciate the one from N140917 leaving a wonderful 5-star review. Leave another one for anyone else out there between now and the next pod, and we'll give you a shout out on the next episode.
All right, Nick, over to you.
Dare I say, leave a semi-comment? If on the next review, if you'd like.
I was thinking about a truck when you said that. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, semi was not the right connotation.
Trying to make it a little bit more proper rather than the way Chidge wanted it. Okay.
No, do him justice. Nick, over to you.
Upcoming, we have Matt Law. We're recording with him. We're recording this Tuesday night. We're recording with him tomorrow morning. So lots to talk about with him. As always, news and updates with him are great. And then it's FA Cup semifinal this weekend. That means Man City. That means Naz is coming back. He's absolutely one of our favorite guests that we get to talk to. So back-to-back weeks with the Athletic guys and then the Goal.com correspondent. It's a lot of spice coming your way. So really excited about that.
All right, here we go. Match review time. It was Porto in the Champions League. It was this past Tuesday, the 13th of April, and it was... Wasn't it Madrid, right? At Atletico Stadium?
Sevilla.
Sevilla, that's right. Ramon Sanchez. All right. Well, thank you. I'm glad your practice worked out on that. Scoreline, Chelsea 0, Porto 1. But on aggregate, Chelsea 2, Porto 1. Champions League, so not highlights. So, again, there's only one goal this match. It was a worldie of a shinner, all right, on the bicycle kick. Kudos to them, but they left it to the 93rd minute and 42nd mark. So thankfully, all we had to do was feign one cramp and the final whistle blew. So Dan, run us through the lineups. I'll hit the stats so we can get into this.
Sure. It was Mendy between the sticks. Azpilicueta, Thiago Silva returning to the center of defense with Rudiger on his side. Reece James, N'Golo Kante, Jorginho, Ben Chilwell as the four. And then Christian Pulisic, Mason Mount, and Kai Havertz is your attacking three. Kepa Arrizabalaga, Marcus Alonso, Andreas Christensen, Tammy Abraham, Timo Werner, Willy Caballero, Kurt Zuma, not showing up. Kyle Mutson-Odoi, Emerson Palmieri as your unused substitutes, and Olivier Giroud and Hakim Ziyech, the only two substitutes left to very, very late in the match, which I'm sure we'll get into as well.
I know, all those options, and you get Olivier Giroud and Hakim Ziyech, so eh, whatever works, got the result. Some of the top-line stats from this match, we had 8 shots, only 1 on target, to port those 8 shots with 2 on target. We suffered a little bit today with 45% possession. We're about even on passes. We had 78% pass accuracy to their 80. We had 14 fouls to their 20. We had no cautions to their 5. We were offsides 5 times to 6 corners to their 9. So a very cagey affair is what you can read between the lines on those stats. And the XG, I mean, I think this is absolutely a piece of artwork. I think a lot of people are probably going to be upset at this, but at XG Philosophy saying at halftime, Chelsea 0.12 to Porto's 0.17. No one anywhere close to either goal. And then full-time Chelsea 1.1 to Porto's 0.61, yet they won 1-0. So CJ, XG, stats, lineup, go ahead, dealer's choice. What do you want to touch on before we kind of get into the meat of the match review?
Let's touch on the the points. What was the first one?
The XG. You could do XG, any like the stats that stood out to you, or just the lineup. Maybe you're surprised that there was no Mateo Kovacic.
I have a lot to say about the lineup. So we can talk about the lineup if you guys would like to talk about the lineup.
Do it.
Yeah, you know what? Let's start off with the lineup. I like that, actually. Who was the most surprising for you that didn't start?
That didn't start?
Yes.
Honestly, I think even in our WhatsApp, we're kind of surprised that Timo Werner did not start. It kind of seemed like this would be the match that Tuchel would put him right back in. But I expected him personally to go a little bit more defensively, as we did not need to go forward. So even though Callum Hudson-Odoi had a great match against Palace, made sense to have Reece James, Chilwell, and essentially play a back five. From there, Pulisic had pretty much earned it, pending he was healthy. Mount, not suspended, so you want to get him back in. And I mean, he kind of went with the Kai Havertz. It worked last game, kind of see how it goes. I don't know, Nick. I mean,
I wasn't surprised by any of it. There were no surprises to me. Like Kovacic not being available. I think Conte was the only thing that I commented on earlier in the day, being like, you know, if Conte's not 90% fit, then play Mason Mount back there and throw another attacker on where Mount would typically be. But, you know, Conte made it through the match, thank God. And, you know, knock on wood for his future health. But, you know, I think that was the only thing I was worried about. But, I mean, the other stuff kind of picked itself. I, you know, maybe Zuma would have been a little hard done by considering that he played pretty well at the weekend. But, you know, you put Thiago Silva in there, I don't really think you can have too many complaints. You know, I don't know, CJ, what you think about that?
Yeah, I think I kind of am with Brandon on this one. I understand we're kind of playing like a false attacking with Kai and like, but I kind of was hoping to see Timo in. Just because, I mean, the things that, you know, Tuchel's saying about, you know, hey, you're going to find your stride. You're going to do that. Like, I think this would be a perfect game. We are going to play defensive, obviously, with Reece and the way that we were playing throughout the match that had me, like, biting my nails to the nub for the most part. But doing a really good job. But I thought it'd be a great opportunity for the counterattack to have him, you know, running behind someone and hopefully netting a goal. Even coming on late, you know, I that's what I was kind of hoping for. I do understand if it ain't fixed, don't broke it. I think Nick says that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's the main thing. I was happy with it. Again, I think Zuma, I loved the fact that he got his goal back against Palace. And I kind of wanted to see him in a little bit too, but you can't, like you said, you can't argue with the lineup and the back five, in essence, and how they did. So I think Timo was the main one that I was like, damn, I wish you were in.
Dan, I think Thiago Silva probably made life much more easy for Tuchel having to build this lineup.
Sure. I mean, having him back and available, not having to risk Christensen, you know, trying to rush him back from injury, knowing how well he's supported our side so far this season, or how, you know, since Tuchel has kind of come and revitalized many players' careers here at Chelsea. And yeah, I think it's been very great to see, you know, that we can rely on a couple of different players in that back line. It does feel like, and I know we'll get into this in the full match review, that maybe with a opportunity to sub up to five players in the Champions League, it just feels a little short-sighted, knowing that we had the two-goal advantage to not rotate a little bit more during the match at the 60th, 70th, 80th minute, put on some fresh legs. But again, you know, we're splitting hairs after advancing, which is something we haven't done in 8 years. So can't be too upset.
All right. Well, that is an amazing handoff on a transition, because we're going to take an ad break. When we're back, we're literally going to be talking about the fact that it has been 8 years since Chelsea reached the semifinals. And we're going to look at Tuchel's reaction right away after post-match. And then we're going to soak up some of that salt from the Porto side and listen to the comments. Maybe not listen, but talk through the comments of each manager. So thanks to sponsors for financially supporting the show. And we'll be right back. So, Dan, as you were saying, Chelsea are back after 8 years since our last appearance in the Champions League semifinals. The Blues are back. And I don't know, Dan, if you want to remind us what happened last time we were in the semifinals, maybe a where were you, who we were playing, and what happened. But it's been a while. There's definitely been Chelsea fans that have come to the team that had no idea what Chelsea were 8 years ago. And here we are.
Yeah, and now there's tweets about how much money we've spent since we've gotten there. So, like, you know, the moment opposition fans are tweeting about the amount of money Chelsea are spending, mm-hmm. which you are completely allowed to do in this sport, that you are under the skin. We have got our fingers back beneath and into their brains, like it's wormed in. And they're just so upset that Chelsea had advanced back to the semifinals, that we're doing the business in Europe. And you know what? Why not us? Why not us, Nick?
Dan, it's called living rent free.
You heard of it?
Ever heard of it? Yeah, it is super funny. You know, you advanced to a semifinal, and look, I get it. This was not a fun couple of matches to watch. It was dogged. It was determined. It was physical. You know, it was, you could have been forgiven to think that this was 2004 Chelsea and not 2021 Chelsea. I mean, this was not beautiful football like we saw at the weekend. But I think as I was processing this today, and I was not thrilled in real time about the match and how it went down, as our group thread will illustrate. I think it was some stuff that we missed today. But as I was thinking about the broader picture here, which is kind of what we're talking about, where Chelsea have fallen flat in the Champions League, CJ, you know, kind of before the last couple of matches, has been defensively and some of the shithousery and dark arts that were needed to advance. And, you know, it's all well and good that you have Eden Hazard. It's all well and good that you play beautiful football, but can you defend in the moments that matter, right? And, you know, when you think about Chelsea Football Club and a bunch of the success that we've had over the last 30 years, defense has been at the core of a lot of that success. And so, you know, I think for Tuchel to come in and to put this, you know, unit together out of nowhere with players that we thought were left for dead, essentially under Frank, is super, super impressive. The organization's been impressive. And I think as we look ahead, which, you know, feel free to then go on a positive rampage of hope about how we're going to win. That's going to be the key, I think, is are you only letting up two shots on goal a game? You have a pretty goddamn good chance to win a match if that's the case.
Yeah, I think it is. It's funny. Like, I think the first pod I was on with you all, I talked about the goals and how many goals we had to score and how many goals we could score and all these things. But aside from one spectacular goal that I think right now the best goal of the season for Champions League. That was incredible. And aside from that, I think defensively, like you said, we're playing out of this world. Like I honestly think I'm pretty sure I said Mendy was my favorite new signing as well. I love the fact that the best goal that has happened this year in Champions League, in my opinion, because it happened against us. He's pissed. He's just irate and he's yelling at everyone. And that's the leadership that I want to see on the pitch. That's what you want as a player. You're like, dang, yeah, this was insane. But like, we have to make sure we get our crap together because yes, it's in the 94th minute, but we have to make sure we close out these matches. I'm in complete agreement with you. I think, when hopefully the goals continue to go and we have a 4-1 against an opponent, that's all fine and dandy. But these close matches that we're going to have against really, really good opponents, not saying Porto wasn't a good opponent, obviously. But it's important to have a solid defensive lineup that Tuchel can be like, all right, I'm going to put these guys out there. They're not going to score unless it's a freaking ripper of a shot. And that's the most, as a fan, it's super like nerve-wracking to watch because you're like, dang, all right, we're kind of playing defensive. And like Nick said, like, this isn't the match that I want to see us play. But at the end of the day, we advance, we do what needs to be done. And again, as a fan, I'm sitting back here like, man, I'm sweating. Like, I'm not even out there. And this is like more nerve-wracking than playing in a game that I'm in right now watching. But it does get the job done when you have a solid defensive lineup that you can go out there and play with and know that you can be successful.
Right. I mean, the organization of the team is what Tuchel is going to be preaching in the probably all week, but definitely a couple of days of, you know, for this match that he not a lot of time with the team. So the foundation of being structured and organized that he's brought to the club since he's got here is really what's allowed these players to go out and not have to overthink it. We always knew that Chelsea were going to sit back and absorb a lot. Look to hit on the break, but then you also have to sit back and see what Porto are going to come back with because they knew that they had some time. They didn't have to just go, you know, all out from the beginning. They knew they probably had 30 minutes, maybe the first half, to try to patiently get one. Now come second half, it's a different story. And they went and did it, but to me, it just comes down to that they played like a unit, right? We got out and stopped the crosses until the 94th minute when we allowed one to get in and weren't able to get onto it. So I think to me, it's just the collective fight and spirit because Tuchel's going to say, hey, I don't want you to go out there and be an impact player today. I want you to go out there and be a squad player because if we all play as squad players, it's going to be impossible to break down it. And that's what we got. And, you know, to Tuchel's point, which I'm about to read his quotes, it wasn't pretty, but how happy are we as fans that we're going through to the semifinals of the Champions League? That's all that matters. Results-based business, and we got the result we needed.
It is a remarkable achievement. I mean, consider, you know, and look, I admittedly have not been the biggest proponent of us winning the Champions League on this podcast. Which I know is a massive surprise to our
Can we get a tattoo
listeners.
Bet?
No, we cannot. But I will say this. If you think about, you know, when we recorded our pod the day that Frank got sacked and the tone and the mood around our little camp, right? It's pretty dour. It's pretty sad, you know, I'm still sad about that, you know, because I wanted Frank to succeed so badly. I will say for Tuchel, it is an incredible achievement to come into a fractured dressing room, a fractured club, a fractured fan base, and begin to just go, hey, I can't focus on all this other stuff. I got to get my back five playing really well. And then I'm going to get the midfield playing really well. And then I'm going to get the attackers playing really well. And all the rest of this stuff either will fall into place or it won't, but it won't be because of the results. It'll be because of other stuff. And I think that is just it's a lesson in leadership, you know, frankly. It's a different way to lead, but he is about organization. He's about just focusing on the task at hand. And I can appreciate that. a lot, and I think it's a true gift that we've been given here late in the Champions League stages, Stan.
Yeah, I mean, you think about just, and this is a credit to Frank and to Tuchel, is that across all of the games that we played so far, so just over 900 minutes when you add in kind of stoppage time and extra minutes, I mean, we've only allowed 3 goals in the Champions League from the group stages, round of 16, now to the quarterfinals. That's impressive when you would consider that the expected goals that we should have allowed is in the 7-plus range. So that's great team awareness. That's Mendy coming through, like CJ was talking about, and to make some saves when necessary. And both Frank and Tuchel getting the most out of their teams. And arguably, the competition has continued to get a little bit more difficult. I mean, this Atletico probably the most difficult of any of the sides that we've played so far, and they came to not play. But again, the road gets tougher, and you know, if it's Real Madrid, if it's Liverpool, they're not going to be teams that are going to sit back. They're going to want to contest. They're going to go in for a challenge in every tackle, and it's going to be a much different set of fixtures and just a new challenge or problem to solve.
I know we're going to talk about them. I know we'll talk about the future here, but from a style perspective, I'd far rather play a team with a leaky defense given our offensive struggles than what we face with Porto and Atletico Madrid. I think, you know, us and Atletico were like this, just kind of same on same for a lot of it. Same with Porto. You see the way that Real Madrid plays and concedes goals. You see the way that Liverpool plays this year and concedes goals. I'd far rather have that 45% possession we had today and be able to counterattack with Christian or Timo, whoever's fast, and see what we can do. And that's really intriguing. I don't want to get too far into it, but I just had to pick up on Dan's point there.
Well, I think Tuchel, his quotes definitely shows admission of what went down with this one. These are from Naz. Quote, I can appreciate the games weren't the best to watch on TV for spectators, but it isn't easy to play against Porto. They showed the team spirit needed when you don't have the experience, end quote. And then he goes on to talk about the importance of this win and what it means. Quote, it's a very big achievement for Chelsea to be in the semifinal. You saw when the last time was. You saw when was the last time we have been there. We are not used to being there, but now we are here. We want the final. End quote. And again, CJ, I know you've always been on teams that win gloriously and dominate, and it's been amazing. But there are some times, right, where you have to change the plan and just have that mentality of like, this is going to suck. We just need to grind it out, though, because the reward is so worth the sacrifice.
Yeah, I've been on my fair share of up and down teams here. But no, I completely agree. I think, you know, I went on a team that was 3-9 in college and ended up going to the national championship a year later. And it was just a complete revamp of everything that we knew. And a bunch of guys were like, I don't want to be here. Like, I kind of want to transfer and get out of here. And we all stuck through it and, you know, bought into what our coaches were saying, our physios were saying, everything everyone was telling us. And we made it to the ship. Now, we didn't win, but that's, you know, it's something that I'm like, man, okay. Like, it really is like a coming together collectively, a coach or manager saying something and the team just saying, okay, like, we're going to buy in to everything that they're saying. We're getting results. Okay, nice. Like, I think that the results obviously help, right? Like, okay, nice. Tuchel comes in, he is organized with things and says, this is how we're gonna do things. We're gonna change things up. Boom, you get a good result. You start getting good results and that starts building the confidence that you have in him and the confidence you have in each other. It's been a complete revamp of you know, what I expected to watch at the start of the season for sure. But you know, like you all are mentioning, and like he said, you know, results are what matter and the results are what we as fans want. We're in the semifinal.
Semi-final.
He's got me questioning what to say.
I love it. But you know what makes it more fun, Nick, than just the results? is when you get the salty tears on an opponent who are pissed that you beat them in such shit fashion.
Whoa. Like, you should go, Nick, but we beat them in shit fashion?
Did you just Kanye me? I'm going to let you finish.
Yeah, I'm going to let you finish, Nick.
Dan, did you watch the match today?
They were flopping around for 180 minutes.
Yeah, it was shithousery. It wasn't
pieces
shit.
Pieces of paper.
Like, yeah, let's count the number of forward passes we had today. Okay, Jorginho was a mile ahead of the next person in total passes. All I'm saying, you can't tell me that wasn't pretty. Like, we are very negative and defensive, and we earned that right to do it. So, Nick, I'm going to mute Dan, and I'm just going to let you talk for a little bit, because there's this great tweet from Paul Brown here talking about the Porto coach and his quotes, and I'd love for you to, in your best Portuguese accent, deliver this.
We're certainly not going to do that. I will say Sergio Conceição, one of the best names ever in the history of the world. That's just a great name. Although his comments were less great, and I will read them off here. I was insulted by this man, Tuchel. There was no exchange of words. I don't know why he reacted. I heard some insults, but it's gone. It's not pretty, and my irritation in the end had to do with it. I didn't even speak to him. Let's break this down.
I mean, English not the first language?
English, but I think we can infer a lot here. I think there was probably, you know, if you remember back to the Liverpool-Chelsea game at the end of last season, where Frank and Klopp were having a little exchange of pleasantries. You're giving it the biggin, you know, and then gave him a couple of birds, and that was the end of that. Look, these are... Look, I don't know, man. These are two impassioned people who are trying to do everything they can to get their side to advance in the tournament, right? I don't really take a whole lot out of it other than he was salty that there wasn't a handshake at the end of the game, which I did notice on the post-game coverage that Tuchel hugged his guys and then went out onto the field and didn't... I don't think there was, like, the traditional fist bump or whatever that happens now, so... I don't know. It's why I had Kicking and Screaming as my through a match review. It's just like, you know, just tip your hat, man. You guys got smoked out. It wasn't pretty, but you had three or four shots on goal over 180 minutes. Like, how could you expect to win like that?
Look, he just wanted some respect. They weren't going to get it. They didn't earn
it. He should have respect. His team way overachieved. Like, they performed relatively well, but like, come on, man.
Remember his quotes about how Chelsea were just like Juventus and they were going to do to
that was Brandon. You got hit by the fake news train.
Whatever. Either way, though.
Those are not real quotes.
Got him.
Anyways, still salty. Moving on quickly to Christian Pulisic.
Well, no, I mean, just to call it out, though, like, you're talking about Christian Pulisic. Like, let's talk about the fouls. Let's talk about the fact that he got fouled 11 times and how many cards eventually got put into the air.
Our referee today did not want to give cards for anything. And there were some incredibly obvious fouls on both sides that should have been yellow cards. The yellow card number should have been 10, 15 yellow cards, I think, probably.
Which is usually what you see in Champions League, but this is a... very kind of surprising at how physical he let it go, which I think was great for us because was it you the one tweeting about the City-esque fouling or somebody was like...
Oh, dude, most people don't understand about Manchester City because I think they get blinded by the goals, right? But every time we play them, they have a system of tactical fouling our best player out of the game. It's what they do. Like, it's going to happen on Saturday. I guarantee it. Watch.
Tattoo
it will
bet?
Be someone. No, stop. You do
he a
tattoo
bet.
Bet
because he's
figure
right. It's not even just a City thing. It's a Pep Guardiola thing. It's a Jose Mourinho thing. Like, it is a disruptive way of football to take out best players. And I mean, I think, you know, CJ, I'm sure there have been plenty of defenders who've kind of given you a little bit of extra on every play just to see what they could get away with. That's exactly what we should, you know, we've come to expect and we got to see in this game.
Yeah, I think the only thing that honestly is just the shittiest part about that, though, is it really just like it gets under you. It makes most people play harder, right? Like, you see someone like Like, and I've had guys on my teams that have done that to people. And I'm like, this, don't do it to him. Like, this guy is he's a problem. Like, he's going to kill us right now. And it happens. And you're like, well, what did you expect? You know? So it does. When it's effective, it's annoying, you know, as a team that it's happening to. But really, it's just, it's like, you're a, so it's under your skin.
I think what the tactic we saw today, Nick, even on Chelsea's side, was we wanted to foul to stop so they'd never got a chance to really build it up. We were like, look, lump a ball in from 50 yards out. Like, we'll defend that all day. On Porto's side, though, as we saw, Christian Pulisic absolutely getting hacked down. It was the Hack-a-Shack treatment.
It was obvious.
I love that Paul Carr, even the data man, pulled out that it's the most fouls suffered by any player in the Champions League game since Lionel Messi versus Real Madrid in 2011.
And if you remember that game was nasty.
It was crazy. I remember that. Yeah. Yes, that was
that was a terrible game. Yeah, it was awful. But yeah, I mean, look, he was by far the most dynamic player on the field today. There's just no doubt about it. And you know, overhead kick withstanding. I mean, you're starting to see Christian move like he's confident. You're starting to see him get on the ball, pass it off, turn and go. You're starting to see him change direction quickly. It was very positive for him today. I kind of said this is the Eden Hazard treatment, right? We saw Eden Hazard get kicked out of games a ton and not be protected by Premier League referees. I would hope that whoever's at UEFA, although I don't expect them to give us any favors by any means, I would hope that someone's watching this game going, he's going to be the guy that's going to get kicked out of the game. Because like the systematic foul on him every single time he got the ball and started running was absurd. I mean, 11 fouls you really have to send someone off when you're getting that close. It's crazy. Pepe had 6 of them, I think. I mean, it was bananas.
So, well, he had the situation in the very beginning of the game where he left his arm hanging out in a very dangerous position going up on Havertz. And, you know, I think one of our good friend of the show, Ollie, made a mention like, I don't know if I necessarily love like an early card. It's like, it's also dangerous. And, you know, I mean, like you have to set a standard. And at no point was the standard set. The standard was set at, we're going to let it play.
Yeah.
Just go out and play, guys. Have fun.
Very high threshold. Look, even with all that being said about the punishment that Christian received, Squawka had his game by numbers at 100% take-ons completed, which was 4 for 4 dribbles, 65 touches, 24 duels contested, 16 duels won, 11 fouls won, which we've talked about, 7 ball recoveries, 5 touches in the opponent's box, 3 shots, 3 take-ons, 2 chances created. Quote, I can do this all day. He he was electric. I mean, CJ, it's not really sticking my neck out here, but he's pretty much the only thing we had going forward today. And it was great to see him succeeding 2 matches in a row.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. Again, as all of us, we're so stoked that the American is doing great for our team, right? I mean, especially even last match, I was like, let's go. Like, here we go. Don't get hurt. Here we go. Nice. This is perfect. And then the way he performed today, I was just, that is the one thing that I expected to see at the start of this year, was to see him do what he did today. I mean, I didn't expect to see 11 fouls against him. I'm glad he's okay and not hurt from some of those. But, you know, this is what I expected. I expected him, and I think this is what all of Chelsea fans expected. I'm sure this is what all of you expected of him, to kind of be the bright spot when things aren't going our way or when we're not really performing the way we should be performing. It was... In light of not really, you know, being on the edge of my seat, he was the one person I'm like, dang, like he's the spark plug that's like, he's getting killed out there, but like he's getting back up. Like, nice. This is what I like to see, and this is what we like to see. And as Chelsea fans, I think we can appreciate that going forward. You know, we hope to see this into the next later rounds and then Saturday if he's in the lineup and things like that. So yeah, I'm pumped. That's the Christian that I was expecting to see at the start of the year.
Any concern about limiting his minutes, Nick?
It's two tough games in 4 days, essentially, you know, like that's, but I was pleased to see him go 90 minutes. I was pleased to see him take a beating and get back up and prove that he's, you know, not made of glass. I mean, that's, I think if there's anything going against him in his career, it's this string of injuries that he can't quite 100% recover from. And, you know, while it was a little scary, you know, like I think all of us were just holding out for like, please don't get injured Christian. Please don't get injured N'Golo. You're too important for what we're going to go and try and do at the end of the year to get there. And so it's like to see them both kind of make it through this is good. I don't know if he'll start on Saturday. I would put some money on it because I think he's playing really well, but he's also proving, I think, something that we knew at the beginning of the year, but he hasn't shown yet this year, which is that when he is on, he is by far our most dynamic attacking option. And it doesn't mean that he's our best goal scorer. It doesn't mean he's our best passer or whatever. It just means that he moves defenses by himself because he can penetrate. And that's not something that Kai Havertz really does. It's not something that Timo Werner really does or Ziyech. Ziyech is a great passer, and I wish Pulisic was ready for the ball that he put in with the outside of his right foot because it was so beautiful. But it was just, you know, he is just a different kind of animal when he's on. It's just you hope to see him on more frequently.
So well, I think, go ahead, CJ.
Well, I was going to say that the, because I was kind of seeing the beating that he was taking the entire match, I was like, he's probably going to get taken off. But as a manager, keeping him in and as a team, like your teammates seeing him stay in, that is so big time for like just morale. You're like, damn, nice. Like this man, he's getting killed. He's being, you know, like you were talking about, he's the one thing is the injuries. And they're like, oh, wow, he just lasted 90 minutes of an absolute just beat down that we haven't seen since 2011 in a disgusting match. And he's unscathed. He's taking a fat ice bath right now, probably still in the ice bath, but they're like, oh, nice. Like, this is our guy. This is someone who will go to battle. We'll take the beatings, get back up and do the exact same thing again. And I think as a team, there's nothing you want to see more than a player do that.
Yeah. You know, he's in the full body Normatec tonight.
100%.
Another absolute warrior and battler, because there's a lot of just, you know, it's all about the defense really for Chelsea in this one. A lot of praise going to young Reece James. You know, I'm going to keep preaching young Reece James because I think sometimes we take it for granted at just how rock solid and reliable he is for a kid. So again, back to Squawka, game by numbers, 100% aerial duels won. He's like 5'8". I mean, he's not overly tall. 72 touches, 7 crosses, 6 duels won, 6 ball recoveries, 5 clearances, 4 tackles, the most, an interception and a chance created. So an excellent performance for him.
And the most important thing is he scared the absolute shit out of Otavio when he tried to shithouse him a little bit. And Reece was like, no, absolutely not. Joe tweeted said he saw the light leave Otavio's eyes after he got shoved. I would agree with that. I don't think Otavio wanted any of that smoke.
Look, Reece James is an absolute unit. He is built tough, obviously. The last person I'm squaring up to, I don't know, maybe not the last. He's up there, though. He's one of the very few that I'm definitely not trying to get in front of. Dan, from your perspective, again, Reece, weird season for him. You know, under Frank, essentially playing right back, now playing, you know, wing back, having to adjust. We talked to Matt Law about this transition for him and Chilwell and having to figure it out. Makes sense he was in today for a defensively solid game plan, but being reliable, I mean, this is a huge match, huge stage, and Reece showed up.
Well, you know, look at all the young players like Reece, like Mason, who've graduated from the academy, who are getting minutes in the Champions League quarterfinals and are about to get minutes in the semifinals and some of their first or second kind of full seasons. It's a special thing. And, you know, I think maybe some of those minutes have dwindled as there has been a little bit more trust in some of the more veteran players, you know, Thiago Silva getting in this match, maybe over Christensen, again, not one risking an injury. But, you know, even some of the more senior players, Kurt Zuma not getting a start in this. And so, you know, I think it's hard when you see maybe players like, you know, Callum or Tammy, you know, maybe not get those opportunities. But again, we do go back to the beginning of all of this. It is about the results. And Reece James was a contributor to a positive result today. And we've seen Tuchel now, when we're looking for that extra attacker, we put Callum on in that right wing back spot. When we're looking for a little bit more defensive solidity, someone who's going to be able to back Aspi a little bit more from a defensive standpoint, you put Reece James on. And many managers would love the opportunity to have one of those players on their team. And Thomas Tuchel is blessed with CJ, the option of having both. And so, yeah, it's great. Great to see Reece do well today, and long may it continue.
Yeah. And you know, it's for us, it's, we're like grinning ear to ear. Like, well, who are we going to put in? Like, what are we going to do? Like, who's going to, you know, and I love Reece. I love the way he plays. I love, you know, I love him. I've loved him for a while. And I think, again, we were talking about the defensive mindset that we had in this game, right? Like, all right, we're going to put five guys out there that I know will hold their own when push comes to shove in a crunch situation where we need to advance. And, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I was just thinking about Simi and Semi just then. I was going to say one or the other, and I was like, I'm just going to say advance. Dan, you got me. You got me right now. But no, I think, I mean, how awesome is it as a player, as a young player, being okay, this is the second leg. Boss is putting me in because he knows that I'm a tank out here. I'm going to prove that I'm a tank, and I'm going to do what needs to be done to make sure that we advance from my perspective, right? So for Reece, he has to be flooded with confidence in that regard, because he knows, say this, our next, whoever it is, Real, Liverpool, hopefully, you know, we go up first leg. Second leg, Tuchel's like, go in right now. Like,
lock it down.
Lock it down. Like, I expect to see a similar lineup, if that's the case, going into the second leg of the semifinals. So, as a player, you can't be any happier knowing that your boss and your teammates have that much trust in you, knowing that you're going to go out there and do what needs to be done. And yeah, it's a blessing to have both of these guys that we can just interchange if we need attacking or if we need to defend. And I don't know how Tuchel does it on a daily basis, to be honest.
Interesting on Reece, Brandon. Like, if you remember this time last year, he was getting absolutely scorched earth by Alphonso Davies, right? At Bayern, right? And it was ugly, man. I think it was the first time that his athleticism did not carry him in a game, because Davies is a whole different animal, man. He's crazy. And I think that was a like wake up call. Like, hey, at when you're playing at this level, your expectations are this much higher. Your responsibilities are this much more. And so to see him come through in such a brilliant fashion. I mean, two shots on goal for defense is just bonkers. I mean, it's just at this level, that's crazy. You know, I don't care if Porto were stunted by, you know, not having their best attackers in the first leg. I mean, to only have two with their best attackers in today is crazy. To see him evolve in a very short amount of time, he's still 20. I mean, give me a break, man.
Yeah. It's crazy. Young Reece. I love it. Look, Jorginho loved today. I could get really divisive.
Dan's favorite player.
I think, you know, I could split some opinion pretty easily on this one. But at the end of the day, I think that instead of talking about his limitations and, you know, what he could do better, we can just accept what he did well today and the fact that, as I've alluded to earlier, a job needed to be done and he did the job. Right. We didn't need him to be Regista today, and he wasn't, thankfully.
Look, while we may not have, you know, him in our favorite players list every week, right? And I think it's fair to say that, you have to applaud the job when it's well done. He sure did a tough job today. He's not the most physical player in the world, and this was an incredibly physical game. But I saw him playing with a really great amount of energy. I saw him shithousing a little bit when he got pulled from behind and then back dove.
Tripped himself.
To sell the foul. That was crazy. I mean, part of this is just, do you have a little bit of the dark arts in you, right? Do you have a little bit of that? And it's, he does. He, you know, for all of the things that he lacks physically, I do think mentally he plays at a different level from a lot of players. And that is a good thing. Now, it's matchup dependent on how he plays in the future, because I think there are times where he gets overrun in midfield, and we've seen that before, and that's just a fair criticism as well. But Dan, he played well today, and I think for anyone who's a hater, you have to just accept that and move on.
Well, yeah, I mean, hands up, you know, he had a really strong performance. You know, one of the better players on our team today, and again, like, will he be the first choice option against a City, you know, who are going to want to take the ball at us, who are going to want to duel in midfield? I mean, like, the whole idea, you know, for Porto is they really want to try to bypass the midfield as much as possible. And, you know, that's where, you know, you need someone potentially to eventually assert themselves. But, you know, I think he did enough to disrupt today with Conte. You know, they combined really well as a pairing, especially with Kovacic, you know, being out, where you kind of maybe thought, man, if you got Kovacic and Conte in here disrupting, making it really difficult, you know, you maybe got this locked down, locked up, and you're good to go. You know, Jorginho came in and did the business. So credit to him.
Yeah, I will admit, I am usually one of those people who is a Jorginho hater. But again, it's one of those, he did the job he needed to do for us to advance. And I don't know if that's going to hold value for other matches, but I don't know if it's there are limitations to what he can do. And I think he knows that. And I think hopefully under Tuchel, he'll, and the squad, you know, like, okay, nice. Like, we know in this situation, he's not going to be able to do this. So if you have Conte there, oh, I got you. Like, I'm a tank anyway. I'm the guy that can just run coast to coast with anything, and then I can support you with certain things. But yeah, I can't hate on him at all. I mean, he did what he needed to do. He played a really well match today, and I'd be interested to see, you know, what goes on moving forward, because like you said, it is like a very, it just is dependent on the match and on the team we play against to see what's going to happen and if he's going to, you know, do what needs to be done to get the win or to advance and do what needs to be done for us to, you know, win, essentially, even though we didn't win today.
If City press him on the weekend, it's going to be a long day for him, right? I mean, we've seen it, you know, time after time. If they don't and they allow him to carry the ball forward and they allow him to pass, then it's his game. That's where he wants to live.
Right.
You know, he wants time and space on the ball. So, you know, look, he's clearly trusted by Tuchel. He's played a majority of the matches that Tuchel's managed here. So, you know, the odds are we're going to see him at the weekend, but just pray that they don't press him with three or four players.
So to be fair, I did the Who Scored chalkboard feature, and I went to Jorginho's passing, and he actually only had about a dozen that went backwards out of like his 60 some passes that he had, 50 or 65, as Naz said, you know, and then of the rest, it was pretty much like one third forward, one third left, one third right. So like, fair play, because we're usually used to him being a very negative player. Now, I don't know pass distances and things like that, but the overall gist is he was a positive mover of the ball. He even had a key pass, a through ball. Naz breaking down Jorginho's match day on the Twitter sphere, saying Jorginho's 8 tackles was the most by a Chelsea player in a Champions League game since N'Golo Kante versus Barcelona back in 2018. And then he said, let's credit.
Shocking. That is a shocking statistic, by the way.
Yeah, N'Golo Kante and Jorginho, defensive powerhouses, apparently. He says, let's credit his use of possession in a game where Porto's pressing was their biggest weapon. It was Jorginho who completed the most passes, 56 out of 65 successfully, 20 more than the next best Chelsea player. And then lastly said Jorginho was also involved in 23 duels, regaining possession 11 times. I mean, he was active. He had a motor. He was an engine. He was very involved. And like I said, this is not the match to take pot shots at Jorginho. This is the match to say, you did a job. You did a good job. And you were very integral to us advancing to the semifinals. The semifinals, whichever you want to do. Potato, potato. Dan, let's see if your Dan of the match aligns with any of this.
It's one of the most engaged Dan of the match polls of the season.
2,300 votes almost.
Oh, and like almost 50 comments. I will tell you, the 50 write-ins were all individuals with Jorginho, which statistically does not make it higher than our lowest performer of the four, as Flaqueta with 3%, Reece James with 8%, N'Golo Kanté with 32%, and Christian Pulisic for taking every lick that Porto placed on him with 57%, the Dan the Match, the official UEFA Man the Match as well. So you know what? I got it right. I'm good.
I love, think you missed a trick there, my man.
I got a good one from Dean Mears. Hi, Dan. Is this like a, apart from Jorginho, who was your man of the match? Oh man. I highly recommend, looking at these replies. It's well worth it. Look, I understand. I get where you're coming from. You know, J5 was a scrappy man of the match performance kind of a thing, like maybe not easily seen by the eye test, even though you've just gotten LASIK. But I don't want to put this on you, Dan, because we did not support you on this. But I mean, it happens, right? Like CJ, sometimes when you get in with your team and you're like, yeah, I know the media gave this guy the man of the match, but you all kind of rally around the guy who did the dirty work, who was the engine, who did the sacrifices that the team needed at the end of the day, and the team rallies around that person and just raises them up.
Yeah, I mean, that's like an offensive lineman every game. Like, you know what? No offensive lineman ever gets love. And you're like, well, you know, you go back in the locker room and the coach is the first person, like, just, let's give it up to the offensive line. Let's go. I'm sure that's what happened in the locker room. I mean, they know, right? It's not always the prettiest. It's not always the most glamorous. Like, oh, nice, you just took on 11 fouls in the match, or oh, nice, you're a workhorse that's just running around the field constantly doing everything. It sometimes it's just not pretty, but statistically and things that, you know, the players know, they're like, wow, well, this guy just balled out. Like he didn't, it wasn't glamorous. It wasn't like, oh dang, like let's put his name in lights, but he just balled out for us to advance. So, yeah, I think that's, I think, you know, it kind of sucks sometimes, you know, being in that position, not getting your name thrown out there, but you get the support of your family and your team. You're like, oh man, like this is more rewarding than seeing a tweet saying, you know, this guy deserves the UEFA man of the match or whatever. I will go back and comment that he needs to be the man of the match just to, so it can be 51. It can be
51. 51 comments.
51
Dan.
Now, Dan.
And I didn't respond because I don't want to be seen as tampering with the polls, but now that the polls are closed, I think I can tamper.
Wow.
Yeah. Look, this is going to be fun, Nick, because Dan put odds in here, which is going to support, I think, his argument, and it's going to pour some cold water on your argument. So, Dan,
these are probabilities. Dan,
okay. Well, this funny little site, little startup. They're working their way up in the world. 538 probabilities.
Yeah, Dan.
What are they?
Yeah, well, the probabilities are that Chelsea and PSG in the most amazing fashion actually had a real banger of a game on. So if you had that on the other screen, you were doing a good job. If you didn't, you deprived yourself of a really good time.
Did no one else work today?
So Chelsea,
why is it just me?
Oh, look,
you guys have like three monitor setups.
Multitasking. Right. Anyway, PSG and Chelsea are through. So that's exciting. That's a good thing. We imagine that Real Madrid and Man City will advance forward, leaving Liverpool and Dortmund out of the competition. As of right now, the probabilities to make the final would be Man City 68% probability, Real Madrid 44%, which I imagine is only lower because they have not yet clinched. If they were to clinch, I imagine they're going to climb above us just a touch, making us the underdogs, which we love being the underdogs here at Chelsea. So that's actually better for us and the narrative. Currently, Chelsea had 45% probability to make the final, PSG at 24%. So you know what? And even odds, even probabilities on Real Madrid and Chelsea winning the final. So
there you go,
Nick.
I have a sneaky feeling Liverpool are going to beat Real Madrid tomorrow. And I don't know why. I just had that feeling come over me. I don't know why, but I...
But just in this very second?
Yeah, like, as Dan was reading that, and, like, I've just assumed that Real were going to go through this entire time. Like, yeah, it's the probabilities, thanks. But I don't know, man. I don't think they're dead yet. We talked on our locker room thing on Sunday about how they're kind of scary in the league right now. Maybe they pull it off tomorrow. And if they do, then God, two legs with them for a chance to go to the final. What is this, 2008?
Well, I think a lot has to happen. I think you've been a little...
They just need a 2-0 win. That's all they need. It's not a lot.
Real Madrid. But anyways, look, I mean, whatever. CJ, not that we have any impact or any influence on us at all, but do you have a preference, Real Madrid or Liverpool right now? Would you take the what do you call it? The enemy you know, the friendly foe versus maybe a Real Madrid, an opponent that you don't have as much experience with?
Playing both at the same time? No. The only thing that like kind of gets me worried about a Liverpool is playing teams so many different times. Like even like when we play Cleveland, when we play another team and we play them so many different times, I'm like, Like it's all about, it's a strategic game of like, okay, like what are you gonna do? And there's the first half is usually guessing. Right. Unless you're like, okay, I'm going to come out hot and then you get countered and then you get a goal scored on and you're like, well, crap, like this sucks. So honestly, I would prefer Real just as a fan and a watcher and seeing a team play another team three times in the NFL. And you're like, dang, like this is like a chess match out here. Like this is so confusing. I don't know. I'm kind of split. I think I'm like, I'll say 55% of me wants to play Real and 45% wants to play Liverpool. As of now, that could change tomorrow. But I think that's where I'm at now.
Real Madrid, second place in La Liga. Liverpool, outside of the top four in the Premier League. Liverpool not had a great year, although they could be kind of rounding in the form. I would agree. I'd rather play Real because we never get to play them in anything serious other than international Champions Cup tournaments in the States over the summer. But like
Cup Winners Cup and Super Cup,
yeah,
the last sets of matches that we played them in.
Yeah, so I think I'd rather play them because they're not having a great year either. But it's, I don't know, man. I have a weird feeling about Liverpool tomorrow.
Look,
didn't you have a weird feeling about Bayern, you know, beating PSG and coming back?
Yeah, I did. I didn't get that right. And that honestly, the reason that this is so open right now is because of Bayern not advancing. Like the whole narrative is now flipped, and now it's on Pep. now it's really on City, right? I mean, like,
yeah, without a doubt.
And they have not played well in the Champions League the last four seasons. Like they've really struggled. So it's going to be interesting.
Look, never mind. I'm not going to go there. Anyways, I think we can go ahead and wrap with that. Let's see how the predictions work out for Nick. You know, I kind of agree. I think that I would rather play Real Madrid. You get a lot more hype for that as a player, I think. It puts the onus on them. You don't have to play Liverpool for the 17th time in two seasons and potentially help them with their resurgence in the race for top four. It's like we already have to deal with them enough, but we don't have to worry about any of that because right now we're just celebrating that we are in the semifinal of the Champions League. Semi. Here we go. It's going to be enjoyable. As a fan, just enjoy it, right? We've got City at the weekend. another big match and another cup competition. And then we turn around the next few days and play Brighton right after that. It's all coming thick and fast. So when we get these moments, Chelsea fans really relish it, really enjoy it, really soak it all in. And I want to say thank you, CJ, for coming back on. Really appreciate you hanging out with us tonight.
Oh, 100%. And again, hey, if you need anybody for these weekdays, I got you. I'm here Tuesdays, nice. Whenever you need me.
Well, hey, it turns out we're going to have two more midweek matches, Champions League edition.
And okay, I'll be there.
Also,
Brandon, I know we talked about this, but we go to the finals, I'm there. I am there. I don't, fans or not, I will suspend myself above the stadium.
Istanbul. And watch that. Istanbul. It's in Istanbul.
100%.
Never been there. To Turkey. I think we should go. So let's work on that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening. I am even more hyped now that Chelsea make it to the final, because that would be an experience of a lifetime. But one step at a time, the journey continues. All the three-word match reviews that are coming back to kind of fruition throughout this entire thing. We hope you enjoyed it. Enjoy it. Hopefully no one thinks that we were frustrated talking about a loss. This was a win that was enjoyable and relished once the final whistle blew, because it was damn stressful all the way up into the 94th minute. So you survived, Chelsea fans. Enjoy yourself. Go tweet at CJ. Tell him thank you for jumping on the podcast. That's going to wrap us up. So until next time, Chelsea fans, you know what to do. Keep the blue flag flying high.